Indeed, I would like to add my thank you to Becky as well, along with the others, for all this project that we have undertaken. And it is indeed tremendous, great joy to see it happening, how it has progressed. And as Becky mentioned, that at the end of summer, we have that special the party in the school, and a number of us we went, which was fantastic. But Everil did mention about something about the age and so on, and if you really, really want to have a fun with children, you ask them to guess how old are you. Years and years ago, I was incumbent of another church in another part of the country. I was still under 50. I was in my late 40s. And I used to get a group of school children from the local school. And one day they came and we had our talk and so on. Then they went with their worksheets into the different parts of the church. And as they were doing the work, I noticed that one group of boys, they're looking at me and they're talking. And I guess there's something talking about me. So me pretending that I haven't noticed, I just walked around and then ended up near them. And I said, come on, boys, tell me what's going on. There's nothing. Come on, tell me nothing. So after a few times, they did nothing. And then when I insisted, they said, oh, we were just guessing that how old are you? And I said that, well, what did you guess? They just giggled and they didn't tell me. They said, you tell us. I said, now you tell. They said, no, you tell. And I said that, well, I'm actually not yet quite 50. And they burst into laughter. And in my foolishness, I said, oh, do I look younger? And you can imagine, they went wild laughing. And I got confused. They were, why are they so much laughing? And they said, oh, we thought you were more than 70. So be careful when you ask children that, guess how old am I? Yes, our senior people here, they are writing letters, and letter writing is a pretty good Christian tradition. We have got so many letters actually in the Bible that Paul, for instance, there are 13 letters in the Bible that which are included, and Ephesians, from where Yvonne read to us, is one of the letters he wrote to a group of people. And if you feel that your pen Paul writes long sentences, just remember that this church people, they had to read Paul's letter, and this particular letter, first chapter, I think about 14 verses are one sentence in actually the original. So probably the longest sentence in the world. And obviously that Paul, as our pen Paul, do share with younger people their experience, Paul shared his experience, and of course he encouraged them in different things as well. Now I have two questions to ask. Oh gosh, I forgot
I've got it.
Oh, you got it?
Yes.
If you will help me. Well, I would like children to tell me what is church? And second is, why do we gather together? But first, what is church in your opinion?
Living.
How would you define?
A place where we come and worship together.
A place where we come to worship together. Wonderful. Who else? Come on, my scholars. They know who they are.
But they're very shy this morning. This isn't normal.
How would you define a church?
So Lily said it's a place where we come to worship together. Any more thoughts?
A community.
Wow. That's great. Any other young person? Righto. No, they are starting.
A kingdom of worship.
Wow. That is amazing. Yes, son, you are going to say?
Magnus.
A place to connect with God.
What a tremendous definitions you have given. But that's wonderful. And I must say that I am a little bit wrong-footed by you people. Because it's not long ago that one man was talking with me about that what is church and who are the people who gather in the church. First he said, just a bunch of religious freak. Nothing else to do. I said, well, that's not actually quite what we are. You are bonehead, that you have got a lot you share with each other. I said, that's minus me. And then said, well, then probably first he said, egghead, that you so much know and you share with each other. And I said, well, that must be minus me. And he said, then must be boneheads. But you have told me tremendous, tremendous definition of the church. Here actually Paul has given one example how to define church, the church, how it should function. We will come to that. The second, why do we gather together? You have partly answered, but let's now get to the adults as well. Why do we gather together?
Can you start us off again? No?
If it is worship, I will ask, why do we worship? If it is to connect with God, I would ask, why should we connect with God? So why do we? Something else.
Why? Any adults?
Magnus?
We connect with God to be better people.
We connect with God to be better people.
Brilliant. I did say that. Come on, my scholars, where are you? Anybody else?
To share with one another, we encourage each other and be together and share what we believe.
Super. To share what we believe and so on. Well, that's all. Again, thank you very much, Becky. That wonderful explanations. And I think that, Magnus, what I wanted to say, you have partly said it. To be better people. And I would say that, as this passage says, to be turning or to becoming more like Jesus. Day by day, turning into the likeness of Christ Jesus. That is what is church about. That is for what the church gathered together. How the church could function well, that Paul has given us four rules. One is humility. My children, do you understand the word humility? Yeah, brilliant. Tell the others. Brilliant, thank you. You want to say, Michelle? Humble.
To be humble.
What is humble? What is a humble person? What was that?
I need the microphone. Hang on, I'll come.
Not think much of yourself.
Right. Well, yes. I think that's pretty good. Because deep down in our heart, the desire that I want to be the center of everything is there, whether we accept it or not. And a person who readily sacrifices that, That is a humble person. Gentleness is the other one that Paul mentioned. Come on, my scholars. Gentle. What is a gentle person?
Gentle as in being kind to someone.
Right, brilliant. I think Magnus wants to say, is it Magnus? You want to say something? No. Okay, sorry. Right, brilliant. Gentleness and patience.
Patience.
How many?
To be willing to wait.
Willing to wait, that's very good. Yeah.
That's what you're going to say too? Yeah.
Super. So that is another one that let's face the reality, and the truth is that in everyday living, always there is somebody, someone, something that wants to get on your nerves. And if I say that I'm a very patient person and raise the hand, I need to add that the rectors do lie at times as well. Because all of us, we lack that. But Paul says that is really needed so the church can function well. And the last, I think all of us we know, is love. There need to be that love among the people. Humility, gentleness, patience, love. So for church to function. And when these four things work in the church, then the church works the way it should be. And Paul has given here the example of human body. Yeah? Just imagine that if head says to the hand to catch something and hand refuses, brain says to the heart that don't pump the blood, and the heart says, I'm not going to do it, will that body function? And the answer is, won't function. Now, somebody said earlier, who was that community, the church's community? Somebody, yes, you said community. Yes, we are a community, but often people look at church as a separate from the community. But the truth is that we are part of the community. But if you look at it differently, even then, you know that the same principle applies in the community. You know that on the face of the earth, there are over 7 billion people. Wherever you go, there are human beings. Everywhere. But yet, the truth is that in the middle of 7 billion, there are many lonely souls. And especially in the developed Western world, loneliness is one of the big problems. So many people, yet people lonely. Communities need to connect with each other. And I think that this Pen Paul project is a great and a right step in the right direction. Because, and there I see again the model of the body that the Paul mentioned, that functioning. You know that when I see, and this may not look very attractive to some of us perhaps, when I see a young person, old person or parent holding a child's hand and walking, and I often see and say, well, you are helping your helper. Did you get it? When you hold child's hand, you are actually helping your helper. Because one day, they are the people who are going to be your helpers. And when you write letters to children, look the joy you give to them and the joy you receive. So It benefits all when the community works together, each playing its own part. Our seniors writing letters, children receiving letters. You enjoy reading letters when you receive from your pen pal? Brilliant. That's wonderful. And it shows that we do care for one another. David gave earlier example that yes, we may be different people, we may have different ideas, we may even clash at times, but deep down, look, church is a good example how, when there is need, how people care for one another. So you, my children, you are being trained by your seniors to how to be caring people. And to me, when community lives like this, community gives life to each other. And I continue to pray that may the Lord give us, not only as a church, to be truly the body of Christ, where we function, we work together for the betterment of the body. But even as a community, we adopt the same principle, working together, supporting one another, helping each other to the glory of our Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much, Becky, for your help.